Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well today. What a, again, a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, we're going to be reading verse 21 down to the end of the chapter, verse 35. Matthew chapter 18. And if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you, it has been a blessing to be in church today. Thank you for this opportunity and for all that have taken advantage of this opportunity to be here today. And now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture, there's no doubt you have a message for all of us from this. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us. I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Back over in the book of John in chapter 10 and verse 10, The Bible says this, the thief cometh, and the thief is the devil himself. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And Sunday mornings we have been looking at this idea of abundant life, a life that Christ himself brought from heaven and revealed to man, something that we can have. If you truly believe that the Creator God brought something to earth and offered it to you and says you can have this, we would not want it. I can't understand anyone not wanting what Almighty God has for us when it comes to the joys and the blessings of abundant life. But the devil is looking to blind us to it. He's looking to use his arsenal to keep us from it, because it's the devil who wants to steal and to kill and destroy what God has for us, especially when it comes to the joys of living life. Satan has a stronghold on physical life because of a sin nature that all of us have. There's not a one of us here that does not have a sin nature, and there's not a one of us here that's not tainted by that sin nature and affected by it. There's a degree of how we allow that to affect us, how we turn away from that and turn to Christ, who is the one who can keep the devil from stealing and killing and destroying what God has for us, and we can live that abundant life. And so we've been in a series and just trying to help present the things that the devil's been using in our lives to hinder us from the joy that God has for us in this abundant living. See, Jesus came to set us free from the bondage of sin and to give us a new life with a new nature, a nature that comes from heaven, a nature that is of God, and that includes that abundant life and that nature. We can have it now, and we will have it if you're saved throughout eternity without a sin nature. Today we have to deal with it with a sin nature and a limitation on a body, but in eternity, after this life, we will not have a sin nature, and we will have glorified bodies, and we will be living the abundant life forever. Last week, we looked at the presence of a godly sorrow brought on by the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. This presence of a godly sorrow is needed to be able to live the Christian, Christ-like, abundant life that God wants us to live. We studied the prodigal, and the prodigal didn't have it until he returned to the Father. You will not have it unless you're in fellowship with the Father. You will not have it unless you are walking with him and fellowshipping with him. He finally returned to it. This morning we're looking here, and that's why our text now, and just trying to catch you up on where we're at on this, but our text here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 down to verse 35, Jesus presents a parable. He presents this parable in verse 23 down to verse 34. This parable was in response to Peter's, one of his apostles and the outspoken one, Peter's question in verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. That's Peter looking to Jesus Christ, and he addresses something that all of us have to deal with throughout our lives. To forgive or not to forgive. All of us. It's part of life. And what we do with this will determine whether or not we enjoy the blessings of an abundant life. What we do with this will make a difference in our joy, make a difference in our happiness, make a difference in our peace, in our walk with God. The number seven, have you ever wondered, Peter, why seven? Seven is a symbol of perfection, and it's also a symbol of rest in the scriptures. So Peter said, I can rest after seven times. And it's a perfect number, so I'm going to ask you, is it the seven? Is that it? Have you ever forgiven somebody seven times? Peter was thinking about this, and he said, seven is a number that I'm going to throw out there because this is a number of perfection. This is a number of rest. Is that it? Lord, am I commanded to forgive somebody who sins against me, it's hurt me, affected my life? Is seven good enough? Can I stop at that? Can I tell you that Peter knew this was a part of his life? We need to understand it's a part of our life. It's a part of humanity. What we do with it is very important. Most of us here today were raised to ask for forgiveness. And when forgiveness was asked for, we were taught to forgive. Because we live in a Christian United States of America society. And it's just something that we know is right, something that we have been taught, it's been passed down from generation to generation in this United States of America because it's being established upon the principles of the Holy Word of God, established on the principles that Jesus Christ brought to us and is revealed to us through the Bible. It's a Christian nation, and so most of us here, and you're still in church because you were raised in a way that you would respect the Word of God, and you would honor the Word of God, and you would understand the need of the Word of God. And so when we were being raised, we were told, say you're sorry. I would dare say most everybody in here has received a spanking because you wouldn't do it. The human nature, that's one of the hardest things because it goes against our human nature. It goes against our sin nature to confess, to say I'm sorry, to forgive. We try to start children out in as early as possible to do these things. And the stubborn, hard-headed ones are the ones that say, I'm not saying. And our parent says, oh, you're going to say it. Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to be and what I'm going to have to do to you in order for you to say it, but you're going to say it. And praise God. Because that helps that child to understand the need of an abundant life. We discipline our children so that they at some point will learn to discipline themselves and therefore not yield to their flesh, not yield to the sin nature, but yield to a better way of living life, and that is Christ-like. Stop looking for something new. Stop thinking that the government has to determine how you raise your children. Stop thinking there's some kind of a special way of raising them that you don't know about that's coming from somebody else. Just stick to what God has told us. Amen. Stay true to the Word of God and understand that you were raised that way. And I think you're in church today. More than likely because of that. There's not a better way to raise your children than with biblical principles in mind. Christ wanted Peter to understand this. Peter knew it was a part of his life, and so he asked him about this idea of forgiveness. The answer was found in verse 22, before the parable. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, Peter, but until 70 times seven. Have you ever thought about forgiving somebody 70 times seven? It was meant to tell Peter there's no limit. Because then in verse 35, after the parable, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart, from inside of us, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. See, the answer given was not about who we forgive. Do we get to pick and choose who we forgive? Well, I'm going to forgive you and forgive you, but no, I'm not going to forgive you. It's not about who we forgive. It's not about what we forgive. Well, I will forgive up to this point. If you go beyond this point right here, nope, not forgiving you. As long as you stay with it, underneath this level right here, then I'm good with forgiveness. It's not about that. It's not about how many times. It's all about a more Christ-like way to live life. It's all about enjoying the abundant life that God wants us to enjoy. And if we're going to enjoy the abundant life, the spiritual life, the life of Christ that is available to us, we must have a spirit of forgiveness. It's something that we have acknowledged. It's something that we have yielded ourselves to. It's something that we are wanting to be a part of how we live life. That's the Christ-like life. That's the example that Jesus Christ has set for us, and it's the example and the message that Jesus was presenting to the apostles, and it's been recorded for us that we might understand this is how God would have us to live if we are going to enjoy the abundant life. It's about your living life yielding to a spirit of forgiveness from your heart. That's within us. The spirit of forgiveness is presented to man from God. It's part of the kingdom of heaven. The Sunday nights we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ, and we're in the parables now that deal with the kingdom of heaven. It's the ways of God presented to man. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened. And then he goes into this parable. It's something that I want you to understand. This is not of this earth. This is from God. It is not of the flesh, because you will not forgive as you ought to forgive from the flesh. You have to have the spirit of forgiveness. You have to understand it comes from God. And as you understand, it is part of God's will for your life. And as it comes from God, you can have it and you can live by it. It's yielding to it. And then he gives the parable. Verse 24. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. A man who owed a very large sum of money, a million times greater than, verse 28, 100 pence. A million times greater. That's what he owed. In verse 25, what was determined by the law? This was just judgment according to the laws of the land, according to the law that Israel was to live by in the Old Testament. Now, it's important because that law was established for us to understand more about grace, more about God, when Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. But we find here in verse 24, this man, and then verse 25 rather, it says, but for as much as he had not to pay, it was more than he could ever pay. It was beyond comprehension, if you will, the debt that he ended up with owing, a million times greater than what was owed him by someone else. But as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Now you think this to be harsh, and it would be harsh. This is not the humane way to live, but it was a part of the law that would help us understand that we can't live that way. We need grace. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. There's no way that I can live and not break one of the laws that was established. I can't do that. It's just beyond comprehension. It's beyond it. But this was by the law. If he owed that and could not pay, he was to be sold. Become a slave. But not only would this man be sold, it would impact more than just him, but the Bible goes on to say his wife and his children and all that he had, because payment had to be made. This man had the law behind him saying, I want you to pay me all. You owe it. And if you don't have it, then you're going to be sold. All your possessions, all your house, your wife would be sold. Your children would be sold. It's just judgment based on the laws that we are living by. Whether you agree with the law or not, it is the way it was. Wow. And then we find verse 26 and verse 27. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, humbled himself before this Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. A humble, unmerited request of this man. Humbled himself. Boy, that's good. Unmerited. He didn't deserve for this to be forgiven him. He didn't deserve not to be sold, because by the law he should have been sold. His wife should have been sold. His children should have been sold. But unmerited, didn't deserve it, but he asked. He requested. And it was followed by a spirit of forgiveness. Something that all of us need to have. Something that Christ is teaching through this parable. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. A spirit of forgiveness based on compassion, love, grace, and mercy. This is what Jesus is presenting. This is the picture of what Jesus is presenting if you want abundant life. It's available because I brought it from heaven. This is how you can live on earth and have the blessings of heaven, have the blessings of an abundant life, have joy, have peace. Can you see the picture? Here's this man who owes more than he could ever pay. And it's affecting not only him, he's getting ready to be sold by law into slavery. His wife, standing next to him, she's getting ready to be sold into slavery. His children, right next to him, are being ready to get sold into slavery. He's thinking about his children. He's thinking about his wife. He's thinking about himself. And he said, please, have mercy. I don't deserve it, but I ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to work. I'll do everything I can to pay back everything I owe. Please, have mercy. Now it's up to the individual. He has a spirit of forgiveness. And he says, you're forgiven. All of it. The children are over there rejoicing. We don't have to be sold into slavery. The wife is right there. Praise God. We don't have to be sold into slavery. He's forgiven us this. And this man now, understanding I've been forgiven, it's affected my marriage, and she's been forgiven, and we can have a marriage together. Our children have been forgiven. We can have a blessed family once again. Thank you for showing mercy. Thank you for showing grace. Thank you for showing compassion. I mean, what a great picture. But not only that, and able to bless them, and able to allow this to take place. Can you imagine him rejoicing over what had just happened, over what he was able to do to impact this man, his wife, and his children? I guarantee you, when your forgiveness impacts somebody else's life, it will do something for you that possibly nothing else can do for you. It will impact your joy like nothing else can impact your joy. For you to have genuine forgiveness, for you to have a spirit of forgiveness and be able to forgive no matter what it might be, an unlimited amount of money, more than he could ever pay. And it would cost him something to be able to forgive that. It would cost him that debt, but he was able to forgive that. And inside of his heart, he's thinking, boy, this just feels good. What a blessing to impact this man and his wife and his family and his children. And there was rejoicing, shouting, crying, slobbering, snot everywhere. Yeah. Wow. A great story. Everybody experiencing abundant life. They all were experiencing abundant life. The one who was forgiven and the one who forgave. I wish we could stop the story right there. Jesus didn't stop the story right there. Because then we find verse 28. Verse 28 begins with this word, but. Because you would expect that man to want to impact somebody else's life like his life had been impacted. You would think that once this man understood what had just happened, the blessings of forgiveness and how it impacted his wife and his children and their joy and their life, you would think, I want to pass it on. I want to now be the one who's able to forgive others. I want to be the one who now, after being the recipient of forgiveness, to be able to bless somebody else. Be a part of this abundant living and have the spirit of forgiveness. But the same servant, the same one, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, 1,000,000,000 times less than what he had been forgiven for himself. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. What Jesus now does is he presents the fruit of an unforgiving spirit. The fruit of an unforgiving spirit. This man accepted forgiveness, but he would not yield to a spirit of forgiveness. You accepted the forgiveness. You acknowledge the forgiveness. You understand what was forgiven. And yet you will not yield to a spirit of forgiveness. His heart or his spirit, Jesus says, verse 32, was wicked. After he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me to. You just asked. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion? Can you imagine somebody that had been forgiven for all of that and then turn around and treat somebody that owed him 1,000,000 times less in such a manner? Can you even fathom something like that? Now that Jesus has presented it, can you imagine anybody doing that? There was a humble, unmerited request to forgive of 100 pence. His fellow fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. That sound familiar? That's exactly what he had done. And he would not. There was no love, even though he had been shown love. There was no grace, even though he had been shown grace. There was no mercy, even though he had been shown mercy. There was no compassion in his heart. He was living life filled with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Say, how do you know that, preacher? It doesn't say that in that. Well, Ephesians in chapter 4, look there with me, because this is what leads to an unforgiving spirit. This is what's keeping you from enjoying abundant life. This is, if you allow it to, it's what Satan uses to keep us from doing what Jesus Christ would have us to do, because it's based on what he's done for us. In Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 29, verse 31 rather, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have you received the forgiveness? Do you know that you were a sinner, and because of your sin, the wages of sin is death? You're on your way to devil's hell because you owe a debt you can never pay. If it was not for someone who showed mercy, someone who showed compassion, someone who loved you, someone who wanted to share with you grace and mercy. If it wasn't for God so loving the world and even giving his only begotten son for you and I, we could never see heaven. We were all doomed to a devil's hell because the wages of sin is death. That's eternal damnation. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he shows love, he shows grace, he shows mercy, he shows compassion, because he has a spirit of forgiveness. And he wants us to have a spirit of forgiveness. Yeah. This man was living life filled with all these things. Ephesians 4, verse 31 tells us bitterness. That'll keep you from forgiving. Wrath or revenge will keep you from forgiving. Anger, clamor, evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. The word malice, Webster's definition of that is feeling a need to see others suffer. Feeling a need for others to suffer because of what you've done to me. I want coals of fire to be poured over your head. Feeling a need to see someone else suffer because what they've done to me, how it's affected my life, how it's affected my family, how it's affected my whatever it might be. They've got to pay for that. They've got to suffer. That's clamor. That's connected to all these other things that will keep you from the abundant life that God wants you to have. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Yeah. I want the abundant life. One of the things I have to have if I'm going to enjoy the abundant life is a spirit of forgiveness. We must look to Jesus and pray to accept and yield to the spirit of forgiveness. That's what this is all about. Because through Christ I can forgive the unforgivable. How can you forgive? All I have to do is remember what I've been forgiven for. Have you accepted the forgiveness? If you've accepted the forgiveness, how in the world can you justify not forgiving? Because no matter what you have to forgive, it doesn't come close to what you owed. What he's forgiven you for. Doesn't come close. And the truth of it is, it's going to hinder you the rest of your life until you yield to it. One more thought before we close this morning. Because you need to know this as well. We need to understand this. Go back with me to our text. The man that failed to forgive, Jesus said he was wicked. His heart was wicked. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Forgiveness is not given to allow sin to go unpunished. I've got to forgive and allow sin to go unpunished? No, listen to me. That's wrong. Don't let the devil blind you with that thought. That's not what God is saying. What God is saying is, you forgive and let me deal with it. Because I see God knows things we don't know. Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it keep you from the abundant life that God wants you to live. No, you got to turn it over to Christ. Forgiveness is choosing to put it behind you. Forgiveness is choosing not to remember or focus on the hurt. Forgiveness is choosing to say, I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I put it in the hands of my God, and I've received from Him the spirit of forgiveness enabling me to do this. And I'm going to move on because I want the abundant life. I'm not going to get stuck here in this bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. I want the abundant life. If you're going to have and enjoy the abundant life, you have to yield to the Spirit that dwells within you through Christ, a forgiveness. Allow God to determine the consequences. I'm sure glad I don't have to. It's not up to me to determine the degree of punishment for the degree of sin. Isn't it great? Isn't it great to be able to have somebody else you can just turn it over to? Pass the buck on over. It's not me. That's one thing I miss about being an associate pastor. Nope, that's all pastor right there. Yeah. Doesn't stop with you. You're not the one that determines somebody else's judgment. You're the one that needs to realize what I've been forgiven for. Have you accepted forgiveness? Don't be wicked and not be willing to forgive others. It's a spirit from the heart of forgiveness. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Abundant life. It's what Christ brought to us from heaven with a new nature and says, you can have this, you can enjoy this if you'll just receive it and yield to it. Receive it and yield to it and experience the joy of the Lord. Father, we bow before you and love you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us, and thank you, Jesus, for the truths that you have presented to us, and especially in this parable here, and how you, in answering Peter's question, you've answered all of our questions as well, because it's a part of our life. Help us to yield and to do as you would have us to do, and experiencing the blessings that you want us to experience. Work in our invitation. Bless now at this time. In Jesus' name. Amen.